And it is 24 minutes after the hour. It's a Transcendent Tuesday here along the Broken Road. We're joined by Dr. Don Clark, who is a biochemist, member of the Board of Creation Moments, a good friend of the station and the only scientist we have on staff here, and lives in Garden Valley, Texas, just east of Dallas, just a stone. How do they say it in Texas? Just a stone's throw or just a hoot and a holler? There's a Texas-like expression for a short distance.
I have no idea.
Maybe not a fur piece? No, I don't know.
A fur piece is a long way.
Something. Oh, that's true. That wouldn't be useful at all.
And just up the road could be a long way, too.
Texas is a long way from all across it. We've talked with Don weekly for, 8 years now? And typically we talk about the biblical story of creation. We had a great series on Genesis. If you haven't discovered our podcast library, you might do that. We lost a few of them due to a technical glitch. We're putting them back slowly, but quite a series on Genesis. This is kind of back to where we've been for so long, and that is DNA research. And it's a fascinating topic, and it's in the limelight these days because of COVID-19 to a great extent. There are a lot of labs and research. I don't know who does research. Universities like Oxford now talking about maybe a workable vaccine for COVID. Other laboratories around the world, and there are thousands of them doing DNA research. And there was a report out that is entitled COVID-19 is accelerating human transformation. Let's not waste it. The implication being that we can improve the human race and prevent future pandemics if we tinker with DNA and if we learn how to control it and to purpose it to certain kinds of developments in human beings. Does this sound like playing God to you?
Oh, boy. It doesn't ever. You see, it's interesting. It's scary. It is, brings us to a similar situation as we found ourselves in Genesis chapter 6, where an other group of beings messed around with the human DNA and not only got themselves in trouble, but got the whole human race in trouble. So, heading down this path is a very, very dangerous path to head down. And it's all because of a technology called CRISPR, which is the ability to cut DNA and splice in new genetic information in a specific spot in the DNA. So theoretically, you could cut out bad DNA and put in new DNA. I mean, that's the positive end of research like this. But at the same time, you can recreate the human. I'm sure you remember back in World War II what Hitler was trying to do.
Yes, indeed.
He was trying to create his Aryan race. Now that was, hybridization, mating more than anything. But had he had this technology, he probably would have tried to create a superhuman.
May even have planted the seeds of DNA research back there in the 30s. Of course, it wasn't until the 90s when the genome was discovered and unraveled and defined. So it's a relatively new kind of science. Is DNA research and tinkering irresponsible, inevitable, creative, or just plain dangerous?
Well, it's highly dangerous. Of course, God created and on the seventh day when he rested, he said everything, or the sixth day, he said everything was good, very good. And the very good there is everything was perfect as he had originally designed. Now, of course, Satan came into the picture, the serpent, and messed that perfect world up. And ever since, man is trying to get back to, in quote, perfection. But he doesn't know what that means. And so we tinker around with various stuff and never quite get there. Now, I want to also point out the difference in evolutionary thinking and Christian worldview here, because the evolutionary thinking would have you think that we can improve on what's already there, right? because, after all, if evolution took millions upon millions of years to come up with man, we can certainly accelerate that process by using techniques like this, by using CRISPR and cutting out sections of the DNA and putting in other sections, better, if you will, whoever defines what better is, therefore we can accelerate evolution and create a superhuman. Now, we already know that our basic DNA was perfect from the very beginning, and we already
know if it was perfect in the beginning, then any change whatsoever necessarily means it's now less than perfect, correct?
Exactly. So yeah. How are you going to improve on perfect? And yes, we've had mutations over the years which have, made some genes less than perfect because of incorrect insertions, ultimately, which get into the amino acid coding of a particular gene, one could theoretically, correct that. But even that is scary, because this article that you referenced, or this, starts off by saying, well, it's yes, they've done this in actually human embryos, but most of the embryos, if you carefully read the story and go back to the original references, most of the embryos were highly defective. Not only were they not good, I mean, they had mutations that were highly undesirable, and then you had maybe one or two that you could consider, okay, well, maybe it worked there. So this is not an exact science. You can't go in and cut out a specific place in your DNA and replace it with a segment, although they'd like to have us think that, one day science will be able to do that. Maybe so, but maybe not. And so it's more of a hit and miss type of thing. And that's when we were doing research in our laboratory to develop an immunotoxin, it was all hit and miss. I mean, you do something, you perturb a biological system, you then have a long search ahead of you to find the right antibody, if you will. We were generating antibodies for a specific cell type.
Well, you mentioned CRISPR, and I was just watching a report on the new Oxford COVID vaccine that they're developing, now going to, I guess it's stage 3. I don't understand how the whole procedure there. But what they've done essentially is take some sort of a viral DNA from chimpanzees and spliced it into human DNA, and it results in antibodies being formed. Is that what you would call CRISPR? Same thing? You're taking DNA from a chimpanzee, an animal, and putting it into a human being?
Well, if they've used CRISPR, it's just a means of cutting the DNA at certain locations. Mm-hmm. And then the DNA, once cut, has sticky ends. And so you can then insert a segment of DNA. And actually, CRISPR is a viral protein complex with an RNA tail on it. And it's the RNA tail that gets inserted, a portion of it that gets actually inserted into the DNA. So even the technology itself wasn't designed by man. They're just taking the tools, if you will, that have been left behind by natural biology that God designed a long time ago, using it as a tool, if you will, to try to manipulate genetic information.
Well, I have to ask you this then. If the Oxford vaccine goes through and they make the 2 billion doses they're talking about doing, and we all get shots, Will we develop a predilection for bananas and an ability to climb trees?
Your banana desire should go up exponentially.
Well, I know where I'm investing then. There was one of the gene editing experts that was at least acquainted with this research on the embryos that I don't know that he was a part of the team or simply reviewed the findings, but here's a quote from this gene editing expert. A restraining order for all genome editors mm-hmm. to stay the living daylights away from embryo editing is necessary. There's some scary possible outcomes. Imagine parents tailoring the children they're going to have. And this, by the way, is a Breakpoint article, and there's a link in the chat window of BrokenRoadRadio.com right now. You can click on that link, and you'll see the article that we're talking about. We're talking about godlike technologies developing, and a couple of scary possibilities. What if your child can grow up and then sue you for not giving them the DNA necessary to compete or to run faster or to be smarter or to be what they wanted to be? I mean, think of the commutations and permutations and interesting situations, scary situations that could develop out of mankind totally developing and controlling DNA.
Well, and manipulating it to whatever desire you want to manipulate it, you know, in. You really are messing around with fire here, because first of all, to even do that type of experiment, you have to destroy several embryos. You have to have several embryos in order to do it. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we as Christians believe, at least most of us believe, that life begins at conception. So you're already destroying life in order to do this experiment, to do this manipulation. That's a moral issue right in of itself. Now, if you come from an evolutionary point of view, and if you don't believe that there is a God, you don't believe that life is special, in that God created us in His own image, then anything is open. We can manipulate man. We can manipulate these embryos. We can do whatever we want. We can even develop certain embryos to the point so that we can then use their parts to correct defective parts in an adult, for example. The issue just goes on and on and on, and where do you stop? You know, it reminds me of Tebbiah, who says, "Where do you stop? Where does it stop? You know, enough is enough. I can't take this anymore."
I'm a little surprised that they were using embryos for this research, because as I understand it, science now has gone past that and basically said we don't need embryos anymore. We can use skin cells from adults and create stem cells to grow into any. I mean, there was just a report out a week ago about research that has reproduced liver cells, and it they're in mice now. They're going into human testing, and the effect of this may be to shorten the waiting time drastically for those who are on a waiting list for a liver transplant, for example. So there are benefits to DNA work, and I assume that stem cell work is also DNA, is it not?
Well, that's molecular biology, cell biology. You're basically taking a stem cell. What's a stem cell? The stem cell is a cell that has the potential to turn into any type of cell. That's what differentiates a stem cell from an eye cell or a skin cell or whatever it happens to be. You're not manipulating the DNA so much as turning on certain components of the DNA in order to produce, you know, make whatever cell or group of cells that you're trying to do. This, however, is manipulating the DNA and is trying to create something that wasn't there in the beginning. And so you're taking the embryo, you're taking the DNA in the embryo, you're editing that, and then you're putting in whatever you desire in order to do that. you know, like I said, the technology isn't to the place where you can say, this is exactly the DNA that I want to cut out, and this is the new copy of the DNA that I want to put in, and here's where I want to cut it, and here's where I want to put this in. It's not that refined yet. It may get there, but right now it's not that defined. So you wind up with cutting the DNA in various sections, because what the CRISPR is looking for is a sequence of DNA, and it cuts the DNA at specific sequences. But those sequences could run the whole gamut of the DNA at various places. So you may cut it, you know, in one location with one, trial, and then you may cut it at a different location, another trial. And it's not quite that, specific that you're always going to cut it at that specific spot.
It's interesting that the history of this kind of scientific experimentation is littered with failure and horror stories. And I think of just Frankenstein. I think of Mysterious Island and the Mysterious Island of Dr. Moreau, Jules Verne's things. Mankind has wanted to do this for a long time and always been afraid of the results. Now that we can do it, we need to be afraid of the results, the potential for huge mistakes.
Well, the potential for huge mistakes is there. And then if you think of this, if you've modified an embryo, let's say, or you've modified a cell, and the cell grows up to be a person, and instead of having the desirable effects that you want, the individual is significantly different than what we have today, and causes all kinds of havoc. For example, if the goal is to make a superhuman, so you finally get to this superhuman, but the superhuman now wants to take over the world, and now you've got a superhuman dictator that is brutal in destroying everybody else. This is stuff of science fiction. This is stuff of the Frankenstein type of things. And there's a number of reasons why we shouldn't be meddling. there's moral reasons, there's spiritual reasons, for example, why we shouldn't be meddling in this. And the biggest reason is that this is what was happening before the flood. This was what was happening before, the global flood that God poured his wrath out upon the earth because man's hearts, turned inward to pure selfishness, and their hearts had little love for other men. This is the same direction that we're heading. This is the same, and the same outcome will occur. God does not put up with meddling of human DNA, and will ultimately destroy man again.
Reset the world. And there's another branch of thought too, not so biological but more technical, and that's artificial intelligence. And they're making predictions that AI, artificial intelligence, is developing so fast that at some point in the near future, and there have been predictions of specific years or decades, 2040s, 2050s, when artificial intelligence will have the means of reproducing itself and making its own changes on its own. Therefore, taking the possibility of creating an android who has artificial intelligence that is superior to man's intelligence, although that doesn't deal with morals now. So again, we have no moral control. We have no idea where that can lead. It seems to me humankind is bent on this. I don't want to say self-destruction, but I don't see any other end to it.
There's a quote in this article. It said, "From gene editing to brain-computer-face interfaces." Mm. The authors write, "Our ability to engineer biological systems will redefine our species and its relation to all other species on the planet. And COVID-19 is accelerating this transformation, the research that they're doing. It's definitely, I would say it's the stuff of science fiction, but unfortunately it's not.
Well,
it's
implicitly, it's assumed that that would be an improvement.
And as has been mentioned, they're just assuming that God's role, as far as improving on things.
Dr.
Well,
Dodd,
we can't improve on things. And in the, the title leads us to believe that, so you engineer a vaccine, and now you tell people everybody's got to get the vaccine. And this vaccine does more than just protect you, let's say, from COVID. It modifies your DNA so that now, perhaps, we're going down the road of science fiction, perhaps it will make you more complicit to listening to the specific authorities that are over you and make you more controllable. Now, that is a grim thing to think about, but that's the direction that something like this could go in very, very easily, because, as we've seen, the ultimate goal of Satan is to control everybody and to have everybody worship him instead of worshiping God, and so he prompts man to do the same thing, to be worshipped, just like King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to be worshipped, the Antichrist at the end will also want to be worshipped.
That's something that science and evolution discounts as well as forgetting all about God, ignoring our origins, but ignoring satanic influence in the world. That they're denying that as well.
Well, of course, if there's no God, there's no, there's no other beings, if you will. In this case, bad beings or satanic beings. There's none of that. And so we don't have to worry about those influences because those are just fairy tales after all. Anyway, so, we're just going to stick with the hard science here and not worry about the moral or the spiritual aspects of any of this.
It's interesting that science is in the spotlight today. It is also on the hot seat, and all the warts of science are going to be highly visible as we examine this. For all those who say, trust the science, trust the science, trust the science, and we've talked about this over the last couple of years, can you really trust the science?
Well, if science were in the hands of people who truly loved the Lord, after all, science started by people who loved the Lord and were Christians. It's only when we lose our direction, and that is that we lose our connection with God, our Creator, do bad things happen. And so we can use anything, we can use things for good, but unfortunately, when we lose our way with regard to our Almighty Creator, then we can. It often turns out to be we use it for bad.
And it appears that science is going the same way as morals. I mean, there's a parallel track.
Absolutely.
Started as a noble pursuit, and it's gone downhill ever since, huh? Despite its increase in knowledge and skills and. Well, the boost in ego that comes along with it for mankind. So, Don, thanks very much. Appreciate the time you spent with us today. It was enlightening. And again, if anybody would like to read this article, there's a link on brokenroadradio.com. And a reminder that Don has 8 years of podcasts, most of them about the biblical story of creation. We urge you to take a look at that at brokenroadradio.com up there on the podcast archives. And also, you might visit creationmoments.com. That's the website. Where you can find scientific information that supports the biblical story of creation. It's a great place to roam around and DVDs and articles and conversations about biblical creation. It's encouraging there, creationmoments.com. Don, we'll see you next week. Thanks so much.
Well, you're quite welcome, and yes, indeed. Well, have a great week.
You too.